May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a remarkable story and has a message for us today in our turbulent times of racial strife and name-calling. In this passage, Jesus makes a point to the Pharisees who have sought him out all the way from Jerusalem to test him on obeying the traditions of the faith. As Protestants, we do not have quite the understanding of tradition that Jews and Catholics have, who believe that the opinions of church leaders are akin to words from God. Jesus has just told the church leaders who have come to him much what Martin Luther told the church leaders of his time. Quote, "You have strayed from the scriptural intent. You have misunderstood God's rules and made tradition your God." End quote. Jesus' example is honoring parents, a command of God in the Ten Commandments. Church leaders in Jesus' time had interpreted conflicting rules about supporting the synagogue and supporting parents such that supporting the synagogue came first. Their argument was that God should come before family. Jesus takes the opposing view and says the source of support of the synagogue was tradition from Moses, and the source of honoring parents is Scripture, words from the mouth of God. Therefore, the Word of God should win. Note that both can be found in the Bible. Jesus shows them and us that part of interpreting Scripture is to recognize where rules or verses conflict. Words from God take precedence. This is an example of what theologians call a rule of hermeneutics, a rule of interpretation. And this is the context for what comes next. Jesus further explains that the Pharisees who were questioning him are far too concerned with ritual and not enough with actions. Here is a rather earthy example given by Jesus. Jesus says that what is eaten, such as those things that are ritually clean to eat, versus those things that are not ritually clean to eat, are not what defile a person. The things which go into the mouth are not the things which defile a person. Those things just pass through the system and into the sewer. However, those things that come from the mouth, like hateful words, are what defiles. Those words which come from the mouth have as their source the heart. What we say shows what is in our heart. Therefore, our words and actions have power to hurt or to defile, and the pain caused by our words or actions do not simply go down the sewer. A corollary is a rule that naturally follows another rule, or a principle that naturally follows another principle. The principle that Jesus is proclaiming, that our words show our heart, is a corollary to the scriptural principle that we are known by our fruits. We want to be known by and defined by the good fruits we bear, such as the fruits of the Spirit listed by Paul in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, which says, by contrast, The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The corollary or related rule is that the opposite of such good fruits are bad fruits and define us and defile us. The things that defile us are hate, strife, joylessness, impatience, unkindness, selfishness, crudity, and lack of self-control. When the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit are on display by words coming from our mouths, something unholy and against the will of God is going on. What happens next in our scripture seems very unchristlike. A woman in need is crying out to Jesus, and he ignores her. Now, I suggest that maybe, given the context, Jesus is engaging in a teachable moment. He has just said that the Scripture, the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, supersedes tradition. And at the time, it was traditional to ignore women who were not supposed to speak to men in polite company. So in fact, the disciples tell Jesus to tell her to go away. So in a teachable moment, Jesus first follows tradition. He ignores the woman. But after the woman persists, Jesus acknowledges her, again in a very unchristlike way. He calls her a dog. Again, that was the traditional reference made by Jews of the Canaanite people who had inhabited the land while they were in exile. Very much the same way as Jews might refer to non-Jewish Palestinians today. Maybe Jesus knew she would stand up for herself. Maybe Jesus wanted to show expressly and explicitly how the love of Christ, the love of God, would go beyond harmful traditions. The woman humbly accepts the label and says, "Even the dogs are entitled to crumbs that fall from the master's table." Such humility and self-control are admirable. And Jesus is impressed. Some say the woman taught Jesus a lesson. I prefer to think that Jesus taught the disciples and presumably the Pharisees who were still there an important lesson. The love of God is more important than tradition. Jesus heals the woman's daughter after marveling at her faith. Remember, this book of Matthew is primarily directed at Jewish Christians. Last week, Jesus walked across the water and told the disciples, Jewish men, that they had too little faith. In today's scripture, Jesus compliments a Canaanite woman on her great faith. Jesus takes time to heal the daughter of one that tradition had labeled as one of the dogs of society. We in the church need to be very, very careful. We like to think we have an inside road with Jesus. Like in last week's story, we're in the boat with Jesus. As disciples, we are in the synagogue with Jesus. Yet all too often, Jesus is telling the leaders of the church and the disciples that they're missing the point. All too often, Jesus is praising the faith of the Canaanite woman who's persistent until her daughter is healed, or the faith of the Roman centurion who tells Jesus that all he has to do is say the word and his servant will be healed. Is it any wonder that the liberation theologians see a message in Scripture that we need to look to the marginalized in society if we truly want to understand God's love? We need to help those who need help because the well do not need doctors. We need to feed the hungry because those with big barns do not need to be fed. We need to speak out for those who do not have a voice because the powerful have no need of a Savior. Just to make it abundantly clear, if Jesus was standing here today as a Palestinian Jew from the first century, he would have dark skin. Can anyone doubt that Jesus would be against racism? Can anyone doubt that Jesus would be against people who hate others because of the color of their skin? When Jesus stumbled with the cross on the way to Golgotha, an African man took the cross for him. One of the first converts in the book of Acts was an African eunuch baptized by Philip. Our God is a God of love, not hate. Those who preach racism are defiling themselves. Though they are showing what is in their heart, and it's not of God. Those who preach hate are defiling themselves. It is my prayer that those who've gone down that road might meet our Redeemer and lose their hate. It is my prayer that those who try to make themselves feel better by reducing others through racism might meet the Prince of Peace, who loves all regardless of color. I once heard a Lutheran pastor say that it all boils down to two songs he learned in Sunday school. As a child, those same two songs I remember learning. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That is what the true church teaches its children. Those are the words that show the fruit of the Spirit and do not defile. So if the Canaanite woman is a dog, the gospel is going to the dogs. And thanks be to God, because as a Gentile, I count myself among those dogs as well. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. And not the Apostles' Creed, the words from the Confession of 1967 printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? The life, death, resurrection, and promised coming of Jesus Christ has set the pattern for the church's mission. His human life involves the church in the common life of all people. His service to men and women commits the church to work for every form of human well-being. His suffering makes the church sensitive to all human suffering, so that it sees the face of Christ in the faces of persons in every kind of need. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 436, God of Compassion and Mercy Befriend Us.